Good evening. Let me check this. I got some new strings. I flew out yesterday by way of Phoenix. It's not really on the way, is it? Nonetheless, I flew through Phoenix. And today I thought, I'm gonna put new strings on my guitar so everything will be perfect. And I had a pack of strings and I got, let's see, 3/6 into doing it, and I had to put on that fourth string and I didn't have one. That string was missing from the packet. But boy, I'm awful glad I didn't just wait till like sound check and find that out after the stores are all closed and I'm like missing a string and it's just, I'm fucked. Something like that just would have fucked up my whole day. But nonetheless, I had plenty of time, so I ended up taking a taxi. And the string place, their Google's, what their address on their website, their Yahoo address is something that's wrong. So I took a taxi to like a different part of town than where it was, and then I found it. And what I'm getting to is I spent the day driving around Sacramento, you know. What? No, it was fine, man. It was like, I'm staying in a cool hotel. Look at this place. This place is rocking, man. I had some real good food next door, and everybody's been super nice. So, Sacramento's great. I've got a friend, one of my best friends from back home for years, and he was actually hired me my first job when I was 16 at the record store. And his name was Terrell Benton, and he ended up, and he always said there's two things I'll never do. I'll never live in North Carolina, and I'll never live in California. And he ended up living in Charlotte, and it was just the worst thing ever. He hated it. But he called me one day, and he goes, hey, man, they transferred me. I'm in Sacramento. It's incredible. It's like the greatest place I've ever been. And he loved it here. And he ended up working for Tower. He was like a West Coast buyer for Tower. And he had his dream job, and he was like the happiest cat ever. And it didn't end well. And he was like one of the world's best at something that no longer exists. I mean, there's still lion tamers, but there's not really West Coast buyers for a retail record chain. I mean, I'm sorry, they just don't exist anymore. And so Terrell was kind of fucked for a while, and he's back home in my hometown, and he's got a job, and, you know, he's doing relatively well, but I emailed him that I was coming here, and he was really bummed, because he said he'd rather be here, so. So hello, Terrell, and I'm sure you're on the internet, so I'm sure you'll hear it. I'll send this one out to Terrell. I wrote this song last week. I've never played it before. But I don't have a band to stump, so I can just do whatever the fuck I want, right? I never play with my glasses, because they fall off and I sweat profusely and it just don't work. But I'm blind. I woke up at 40 and my eyesight just was gone. And this song's so new that I have to have my cheat sheet, so bear with me. My grandmother, she needed glasses by the time she turned 42. She would never get them. She was almost 80 years old when she died, and blind as a bat, she would not wear glasses because she was so vain. She probably thought that song was about her. I'm gonna send this one out to my friend Terrell Benton. solid kind of dude. If you find yourself in the middle of nowhere, what you need's a rock solid kind of dude. He says he'll pick you up at 10 in the morning and be there. Have no fear, he's a rock solid kind of dude. He's a rock solid kind of dude. When your girl has left you cause you're going nowhere, your friends are cold hearted and creep. And suddenly you see her out everywhere with a rock solid kind of dude. Or you're sitting at home and watching the TV. Thank you.
the first time I've been outgrown. And I'm gonna push a little harder. She ain't ready till the rods are thrown. Forsaken by you or anybody.
just a parcel you saw through the steering rod. And you wouldn't have to worry about the good sheriff anymore. setting us the truth. Your love's gone and the house is falling down. This ghost you're a comfort to me. Ghost of the family and the time that slipped by. The changing of the open guards in you. Standing here in the day's final line, strong beside you. Strong beside you in this land that I brought you to. Strong beside you. My arms holding you close, strong beside you, with these babies at our feet. My warm summer wind blows. When summer wind blows, the chimneys fell down. The grass ain't been cut on the road into town. Cuts through the woods and the barn needs a roof. There's things more important than holding proof. I'm holding the proof and it's keeping me strong beneath this hollow and this longing. Looking for comfort in the known. Looking for comfort in the known. Nothing takes the place to the ones you left behind. This place you always held, this heart of mine. Holding all along to the place you always held, while hate, lightning rumbles in the distance. Slowly by as I hold myself together, somewhere between language and acceptance. December. It was right after the 12-12-12 concerts, which they were great, you know, and I watched a lot of that, and it was awesome, you know, the biggest rock stars in the world coming together for a good cause and raise money for, you know, it was great. So I'm sure not going to be a dick and bad-mouth in there. But nonetheless, you know, in the South, if you like really talking bad about somebody, you always end it with, bless his heart.
Thank you.
I mean, he's always been a drunk, and he's never been able to hold down a job. Bless his heart. It's bad, like with women. Bless his heart. Butt's gotten so big, bless her heart. I mean, because women, they do it, they say it. But down there, they'll say the worst things in the world, but they'll end it with bless his heart. And it's okay. All I'm saying is that Roger Daltrey should keep his shirt on. Bless his heart. That's all I'm saying. Hello, baby. Pete Townsend has aged beautifully. He's like, it makes more sense at his age than it did at 22. I mean, it's like, yeah, of course he's got all kinds of shit to be pissed off about. He's an old man. Fuck you. Yeah. But Roger Daltrey just needs to keep his shirt on. And who would have ever thought that the surviving members of Led Zeppelin would actually really age well? I mean, who would have thought it? I mean, especially Robert Plant. I mean, I'm sorry, but Percy was not destined to age well, you know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not, bless his heart. But he did, fuck him. I don't say bless his heart. He's Patty Griffin. He's awesome. He's living in Austin, Texas, and I'm sure has a castle in England. And you know, Patty Griffin is cooler than shit. I mean, you know, it turned out okay for him. He's got his self-respect, and he'll probably still do the Zeppelin reunion sooner or later and make $1 billion. So, you know. And then he'll buy another castle. I digress. I do that. Y'all mind? Are we okay? Are we okay? A trucker show, we like to keep it wham, bam, wham, bam. So when I do this, it's like, I like to talk a little bit and digress and catch some buzz and hang out. So.
Bless your heart.
Bless my heart. This is for you, buddy. Jimmy Page turned out all right. That's all I'm going to say.
Girls with backstage passes. I'd have risky apostles. I'd love them for flying. I'd fly to New York City in my private plane. I'd show up most everywhere in cardigans and silver hair. I'd live in a castle but record at Headley Grange. If I was Jimmy Page, I'd take you anywhere you wanted to go. I'd never pay the fiddler. I'd play my Les Paul with a bow. If I was Jimmy Page, I'd wear those dragon pants everywhere. You'd see me in the checkout line. I'd always be in front. If I was Jimmy Page, I'd woo you with my double neck guitar and my prowess.
Trailer, my dessert.
I don't mean no harm, I just like to flirt. But most of all, I like bulldozers and dirt. Bulldozers and dirt. Scrape together, and we'd go to this little meeting three called Ferguson's. Y'all have meeting threes, right? No. Y'all have meeting threes? Let me tell you about meeting threes. Bless your heart. You get a meat, you get three vegetables. And macaroni and cheese is a vegetable. If you think otherwise, bless your heart. Actually, my sister plans to someday write a book, and that's the name of her book, is Macaroni and Cheese is a Vegetable.
and it'll be awesome. No, she's awesome. I don't have to bless her. It's all a bless. But we'd go to this place, it's called Ferguson's Cafe, and we'd go every Sunday, and of course we would be drinking till 5 or 6 in the morning on Saturday. So we'd crawl out of bed stinking, I mean really smelling bad, and put on whatever we had worn the night before, and we'd go to Ferguson's, and we'd get there about 12:15. Or actually, we get there just at like 12:05, like 3 minutes before everybody got there from church. And so we'd get like a good table, and then the place would just pack out with old men and old women who had been at church, and they're wearing their Sunday best, and you know, bless their hearts, you know they're good. And I know we had to just smell so bad. I mean, at one point, I mean, you know, I was 27, he was 25. We were like ridiculous cartoon asshole versions of who we are now. Who we are now meets Beavis and Butthead with a little bit of Spicoli turned up to about 11, smelling bad, and smell aroma. At one point, we were trying to gross each other out, and so we didn't shower for like weeks. We were trying to see who would make the other one give. That's how bad it was. I was going to write a book about it, and I got sidetracked. One of these days, I'm going to write that motherfucking book. But we go to Ferguson's, and church would let out, and the place would pack up. And as it so happens, G.G. Allin did play in Memphis that fall, and they played the Antenna Club, just like the song said. And the usual things happened, and they were gone when the cops got there to arrest them, and it got written up in the paper. And we were eating at Ferguson's on Sunday about 12:15, and the old man and old lady at the table next to us were reading the paper. He was reading it. And now I want you to picture Thurston Howell III. You know what I'm talking about. And Lovey, his wife. Because they looked exactly like that. They were dressed just like that. I mean, they looked exactly like that. And they obviously just come from church. You could smell her perfume. And even over us. Honey, I don't believe this. The old man at Ferguson's Cafe kept saying to his wife as he read aloud, the Memphis Flyer in their account of what went down that night. Says he took a shit on the stage. Picture Thurston Howell. Love it. It says he took a shit on the stage. See, I can't do it. I'm too redneck. I can't be Thurston. So use your imaginations. Says he took a shit on the stage and started throwing it into the crowd. He was gone before the cops could come and shut him down. Gone before the shit came down. Memphis 1991.
dollars to be shit on.
Neither one of us had done anything like that, you see.
By the next Tuesday, I had a lovely family. By the next Tuesday, I had a lovely family. By the next Tuesday, I had a lovely
something here, the like souvenir or a cell or something, and so I emailed and they were going to send me out a box of CDs, and so we get here and set it all up, and they sent me their promos, and they say not for sale. Well, the question is, did they charge me for it? If they send them to me for free, then whoever buys one, I owe you $10. I'm not gonna pay you, but I owe you. but if they charge me, then they owe me $10. So I don't know. That is the question. But at any rate, if you buy one, I will come meet you out there after the show and sign it and all that. So, that ain't worth $10, but maybe worth $5. And so then I owe you $5. You can kiss my ass, because I ain't gonna give it. Other than that, how's everybody doing?
How you doing?
Pretty goddamn good. I'm sorry, what?
Too much sex.
Ooh, okay, let's see if I can remember that one. Too much sex to know Jesus. Stacy's been a troubled teen ever since she's 12. She felt the world close in on her and thought she needed help. Listening to the radio on a Sunday night, she heard the preacher calling out to call a woman's helpline. He said it so nice, sounded so inviting. For a small donation, she could have the Lord Almighty. And she told him her story, and he told her his thoughts. He said, you better get yourself right in the eyes of God. Stop that dog smoking.
actually heard that on the radio the night that I sang it. I did not make that shit up. There's a reason we all believe. There's another few dollars and another trouble train. But anyway, I digress. I'm sorry. I'm doing weekends because the band's between records. We're about to go in and make a record, which is hence the new songs y'all are my guinea pigs for. So I've been spending some time getting it right and spending some time with my family, which is nice because I'm gone a lot. So right now I'm doing weekends, which is kind of like a whiplash thing. Because for 3 weeks I'm doing this, and for 3 weeks I'm doing that. And this and that are really different. And they're both awesome, but they're really different. And I always heard the stories about Willie Nelson parking his bus in the front yard and living there for the first 2 weeks when he got home from a tour. And of course that wouldn't work in my house. I've also heard the story about Willie Nelson, his wife sewing him into the bed and beating him with a broom. So, yeah, you get one, you get the other. So I don't want none of that. Anyway, happy birthday, Willie Nelson. I think his birthday was yesterday or today or tomorrow. So. Happy birthday, Willie Nelson. This song's, I want to send this one out to my family back home. This is called Leaving Time. The baby's on the bedroom floor, suitcases and clothes galore. Everyone's just a little bit sore when it comes to leaving time. Your sister ain't got much to say. The unexpected in the worst of spaces. Mama's gonna be pissed all day when it comes to leaving time. Do what you're told without a fuss. Run the errands and load the bus. Don't forget to give a damn about us when it comes to leaving time. Add 3 hours to the old time zone. Faces on the Jetsons telephone. Sing your songs and then bring it back home in 3 weeks' time. It's nearly leaving time. Shed no tears. Only 6 more tours till the end of the year. Thank God the package store sells more beer. It's nearly leaving time. And I know everything's gonna be okay. I know it's harder when daddy's away. Carry you with me in my arms every night and day. And I ain't never leaving. I'm just taking us all to a whole bunch of places. Dry County, bless my heart. actually it's kind of awesome because I was like a teenage drunk and bootleggers don't card you. Fuck you, Church of Christ. I win. Yeah. Our bootleggers were so sophisticated. They had like drive-through windows like bank tellers. And you drive up and the window go, and you put your money in, and put the bottle in. They had no questions asked. It was awesome. You didn't even have to get out of your car. Thank you, Church of Christ. And then they voted liquor in about the time I turned legal. So it's like, I win again. My life is blessed. I never had to sober up. Not for a minute. But when they brought beer in, it ran all the bootleggers out of business. And they had all these fucking blue laws. So it's like, fuck you, Church of Christ. Like, now it's Sunday and I'm out of beer. But there was a weird quirk in the law that if you could drive across the bridge at midnight as it turned to Monday morning, and for an hour and 59 minutes, the package stores on the south side of the Tennessee River could open at 12:01. And so all the hardcores would meet up in the parking lot, and I call this the 12:01 Club.
Thank you. Look the preacher in the eye.
started forming. 5 o'clock p.m. Funny clouds touched down 5 miles north of Russellville. Sirens are blowing. Clouds spat rain. As the thing came through, I swear it sounded like a train. New Year. There's one in every crowd. Y'all want a song or a story? I got a story that has a song attached to it. So I'm going to tell y'all about the very first time the drive-by truckers ever went on the road. Yeah, it ain't pretty. It was the week after Thanksgiving, 1997, and all we had ever put out by that time was we had a 45. We had the 45 with bulldozers and dirt and 9 bullets on the other side. And we had a t-shirt, and we had a bumper sticker that said, "Mama ran off with the drive-by truckers." Yeah. And for like 10 bucks, or like 15 bucks, you can have the whole package. That was our merch. And we were dying to hit the road. We were just gnawing at the bit, and we were sure that once we took this show on the road, people were just gonna love it. They're gonna look. Wait till you see this shit, motherfucker. That's how we felt. We weren't that young, but we were full of beans. But unfortunately, Our vehicle at the time was a 1978 Plymouth Voyager with like 500,000 miles on it that about 3 bands before us had nicknamed the Huffer. And I've done some foolish things in my life, and I've made some big mistakes, and I've done some stupid shit. But I've never been stupid enough to take off on a 2,000 mile journey in something called the Huffer. But I was in luck because we were friends with another band in town called the Starring Boys. Y'all remember the Starring Boys? The 3 people who yelled are lucky because y'all know how awesome they are. They were great. And they had a van. They had a relatively new van that used to belong to a church. And it was like a, you know, new Dodge Ram 15 passenger with First United Baptist Church panels. Which they were convinced made it cop-proof. And I wasn't convinced of it. We had very different ideas about what would happen. Like Dave, he grew up in Chicago, so he's like, they won't pull me over. It's a church. But I grew up in Alabama. It's like, no, they'll pull you over and they'll wonder why you look like a glam rock fag. Driving the church van, they want to know what church you stole it from. Yeah. In the best case scenario, they're going to search the van, and I'm holding weed, and so it ain't going to be pretty. Nonetheless, we figured out a deal. They needed a drummer, and we had one, and we needed the van, and they had one, and so we loaded all our gear up, and we combined gear, and we combined drummers, and we loaded up into that van. The only problem, there was not quite room for 3 of us. So we were trying to get our heads together and figure out who had a car that could make the voyage. And Cooley's wife, Ansley, had a car. She had a Mazda Protege that was about 5 years old, 80,000 miles. It was good to go. And so we loaded our really big asses in that Mazda Protege and whatever gear wouldn't fit in the van. And we took off. And Cooley back then was living in Durham, North Carolina. He had just gotten married to Ansley, and they're living in Durham. And so me and our bass player at the time, who was like 6'6", and looked like Jesus, you know, the Jesus that they show us in the pictures, that Jesus. He looked like that Jesus, a really tall, skinny, stoner version of that Jesus. And where they draw on South Park, or on a whatever, wherever they draw that Jesus, he looks like that Jesus. And So we go up and we meet Cooley in Durham. Cooley had figured it out. Our tour is going to start in Columbus, Ohio, and Cooley assured us that was 6 hours from Durham, North Carolina. It's a long way from here. I don't know how the geography translates out here, but believe me, bless his heart. So we take off, and about 6 hours into the drive, we're somewhere in the mountains of West Virginia, and that's when the sky opens up and it starts pouring down rain, the likes of which I've never seen in my fucking life. And I'm sitting in the back seat, and my knees are up against my chin, and Adam's miserable, looking the same way in the front seat, and Cooley's driving really fast, and it's pouring down rain, and we're already drinking. And of course, because you had to, because we were terrified. And 18-wheelers would go flying past us in the left lane, and every time one would happen, that little Mazda Protege would hydroplane just enough to where your asshole does that. Involuntarily. And so, at some point around that time, I managed to pull a pen out of my ass and find a piece of paper, and I wrote this verse. 90 miles an hour in the West Virginia rain. You're waiting in Columbus and it's later than we think. Cooley's at the wheel, Adam's at the brake, and I'm jammed in the backseat with my head between my knees. Jammed in the backseat with my head between my knees. Jammed in the backseat with my head between my knees. Got the shits, jitters, bad coffee, cigarettes, and you couldn't drive a nail up my ass with a sledgehammer. Why knuckle West Virginia? A nick of time to load our gear directly onto the stage and play a set in front of 35 paying customers. First band of three.
Which bar?
And then it was Brothers.
Yeah.
And then the Scarring Boys played a great set. And then a band that was hosting us for the night, the Lily Bandits, played a great set. The 35 people actually came to see them. And we get backstage after our set. We play first of three, and I get backstage, and the Lily Bandits are all laid out in every couch and chair with like garbage cans next to them, puking, throwing up. Because it seems one of them had a kid in daycare. And we had brought home one of those kindergarten diseases. And we got in town just as the kindergarten disease that wormed its way into each and every Lily Bandit, and they're all throwing up. And they're about to go on stage, and we're going to spend the night with them. I better take another drink of my drink.
Yeah. Bless your heart.
So we spend the night, we make the best of it. We drive the next day to Chicago, we play the Empty Bottle. 60 people, maybe? Ooh, look, things are looking up. Dave Marr from the Starling Boys. He grew up in Chicago. See, when this first came up, it's like, okay, we're going where in December? Oh, Patterson, you Southerners, you're always worried about how the winters are. That doesn't really happen till January. You stupid redneck fuck. We'll go to Chicago, we'll go to Lansing, we'll go to Buffalo, we'll go to Boston. It's no problem, it's that time of year. So we play our show in Chicago, and the next morning it starts snowing. And we drive from Chicago to Lansing, Michigan, and the snow turns to ice, and that ice would freeze on the Great Lake, whichever one it is that we were driving past. It was just miles and miles, and you look to your left, and it's a frozen Great Lake, and the wind would whip the ice up off that lake and drop it promptly on the freeway for our monster protege to slip and slide, slip and slide, slip and slide, and we get to Lansing, Michigan, and there's 10 fucking feet of snow on the ground. And I grew up in Alabama. If it snows like this much, school's out for 2 months. School's just canceled for a year. So I was convinced no one's gonna be there. But them fuckers in Michigan, if they never went out, how could they have alcoholism? And so they're out. They're out in abundance. The club is packed. And we sold a bunch of merch and we're rocking and rolling and it was fucking great. And then the next morning I woke up with a kindergarten disease. Just in time to drive to Buffalo. Which, as the crow flies, isn't really that far from Lansing, Michigan. But I'm a dope smoker, and there's no way we were going to cross any borders. Which meant we had to drive down to Ohio, halfway across Ohio, and back up New York to Buffalo. And that's when the snow became a full fucking blizzard. And I've never seen anything like that in my life. It looked like the fucking Shining. And around the time we pass Cleveland, they start closing down the interstate. It's like, fuck that, we're not stopping. We ain't got no money for a hotel. We're going to make it. And that Mazda protege, and I'm sitting in the back seat of that Mazda protege, and I'm throwing up on a plastic bag. And I managed to find a pen and a piece of paper, and I write this verse. 20 miles an hour in a Pennsylvania blizzard, it don't take a wizard to figure this out. North in the summer, south in the winter, Buffalo, December, what kind of dumbass shit is that?
Rogersville, Alabama, a half ounce of weed.
saw Leonard Skinner, and I never saw the Clash, but I saw the Replacements about six times and R.E.M. about 30.
Thank y'all so much. Bless y'all. We'll see y'all tomorrow night. All of y'all in Mill Valley.